We're looking in 1 Kings chapter 11, and one of the last things we looked at was the prophecy of Ahijah, and this was the prophecy that he gave to Jeroboam, telling Jeroboam that he would be taking over the 10 northern tribes. And it seems to me, from reading both chapter 11 and then into chapter 12, that this was a fairly private conversation that Ahijah had with Jeroboam. And it appears as if Jeroboam wasn't patient. He had been given the prophecy that he would take over the northern kingdom, but he wasn't patient, waiting for Solomon to be out of the way. And you may come to a different conclusion, but anyhow, that's the conclusion I come to by reading and looking in 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 40. And this is after the prophecy of Ahijah with Jeroboam. Verse 40, Solomon therefore sought to kill Jeroboam, but Jeroboam arose and fled to Egypt, to Shishak, king of Egypt, and was in Egypt until the death of Solomon. So we have Jeroboam, the one that God has appointed to be the king over the northern kingdom, is currently is in Egypt until Solomon actually dies. And we also covered the death of Solomon. Only three verses are dedicated to that, verses 41 through 43. And I guess if you had to make a quick epitaph of Solomon's life, he's one who started well but ended poorly. One who God graced with much wisdom, much riches, but in the end he succumbed to worldly things. Was involved with a thousand women, and these women turned his heart toward their own gods. He set up shrines on on the mount there outside of Jerusalem, and just became a terrible scene there. And as a result of that, took away the kingdom from Solomon, and the kingdom ended up being divided. So anyhow, that's kind of the point we're at right now, where the division of the kingdom is starting. And let's begin reading in chapter 12, and today's lesson will take us up through verse 24, I think is what the... Yes, through verse 24. But anyhow, we'll start reading in 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 1. Now Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel had gone to Shechem to make him king. And this kind of ties into my thinking here, that all of Israel was assembled at Shechem to make Rehoboam king, thinking he was the rightful heir to the throne of Solomon. So they all gathered at Shechem to make, or all of Israel gathered at Shechem to make him king. Now, verse 2, Jeroboam comes back into the picture. So it was, when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, heard it, he was still in Egypt, for he had fled from the presence of King Solomon and had been dwelling in Egypt. So Jeroboam learns that Solomon has died. He's in Egypt at the time, and it's now time for him to come back. Verse 3, that they sent and called him. Then Jeroboam and the whole congregation of Israel came and spoke to Rehoboam, saying, Your father made our yoke heavy. Now, therefore, lighten the burdensome service of your father and his heavy yoke which he has put on us, and we will serve you. So the residents or the inhabitants of Israel come with a proposal to Rehoboam. They're willing to become his subjects, but they're asking for some, I guess what would you call it, maybe tax relief? Maybe today's terminology. And we remember Solomon's kingdom he gathered many possessions, much gold, much silver, you know, not only in building the temple in Jerusalem, but also it seemed to be a lot of it was his own personal wealth also. So he became very rich, and a lot of that was probably on the backs of the people, with high taxation and forced labor and all kinds of things that would cause difficulties. So the proposal is that he makes things not as bad as his father did, and they would be willing to serve him. Now, we get into his reply, Rehoboam's reply in verse 5. So he said to them, "Depart for 3 days, then come back to me." And the people departed. Verse 6. Then King Rehoboam consulted the elders who stood before his father Solomon while he still lived, and he said, "How do you advise me to answer these people?" Verse 7. And they spoke to him, saying, "If you will be a servant to these people today, and serve them, and answer them, and speak good words to them, then they will be your servants forever." So Rehoboam first goes to Solomon's advisors, the men that had been with Solomon, the wise, the elders, and asks for their advice. And their advice is, yeah, why don't you let up a little bit, lessen the burden, and that would be their advice. Now, we'll see what Rehoboam thinks of their advice real quickly. Verse 8, but he rejected the counsel which the elders gave him and consulted the young men who had grown up with him who stood before him. And he said to them, "What counsel do you give? How should we answer this people who have spoken to me, saying, 'Lighten the yoke which your father put on us'?" Then the young men who had grown up with him spoke to him, saying, "Thus you should speak to this people who have spoken to you, saying, 'Your father made our yoke heavy, but you make it lighter, but you made it make it lighter on us.' Thus you shall say to them, 'My little finger shall be thicker than my father's waist. And now, whereas my father laid a heavy yoke on you, I will add to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scourges.'" So, there's many different applications you could apply to what's going on here, and I guess looking at it from the perspective of a parent, so to speak. You always hope your kids would come to you to get advice, your counsel, your advice. Sometimes our kids do that, and sometimes our kids don't like the advice and counsel that we give them. And where do they go? Unfortunately, a lot of times they go to their friends and other people, and guess what? They're going to get probably the answer they're looking for when they go to their friends. And, I guess we shouldn't be so hard on the kids, because I think as adults we probably do the same thing to some extent. We will go to those we think have good counsel, but often I think we probably go to those people that we know kind of think like us to begin with, and we end up with the counsel we sought in the first place. certainly not, there's much wisdom to be had going to others. But I think the lesson here is you really have to be careful of those that you go looking for wisdom. You can shop around and find somebody who will tell you what you want to hear, but you can also shop around and find the truth. So it would appear as if the elders were giving Rehoboam the best counsel. The young men that he had grown up with were advising him to not only keep it up, but make it worse than Solomon had done to the people. So there's the advice that Rehoboam was given. And in verse 12, we see what happens next. So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam the third day, as the king directed, saying, "Come back to me the third day." Then the king answered the people roughly and rejected the counsel which the elders had given him. And he spoke to them according to the counsel of the young men, saying, "My father made your yoke heavy, but I will add to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scourges." So the king did not listen to the people, for the turn of affairs was from the Lord, that he might fulfill his word, which the Lord had spoken by Ahijah the Shilonite to Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. So there we see Rehoboam tells the people, "Nope, you know, you're not going to get any relief from me. I'm going to really just pile it on thicker and deeper than my father did." And it's interesting in verse 15 that, you know, this is really fulfilling the word of God. This was what was the kingdom was to be split between Jeroboam and Rehoboam, as we saw in the prophecy earlier. But again, there, I guess if you look at it from one point of view, there was an opportunity there to keep the kingdom united. God, that was not God's desire that the kingdom would stay united. So the request of the people was denied. And verse 16, "Now when all Israel saw that the king did not listen to them, the people answered the king, saying, 'What portion have we in David? We have no inheritance in the son of Jesse. To your tents, O Israel. Now see to your own house, O David.' So Israel departed to their tents." So we see the split there. The ten tribes of Israel, they weren't content with the answer that they got from Rehoboam, and they decided to retreat to their own tents. Verse 17, "But Rehoboam reigned over the children of Israel who dwelt in the cities of Judah." So that would have been the southern kingdom that Rehoboam maintained. Now, Rehoboam didn't take this whole thing sitting down, this rejection. He reacted to it. Verse 18, "Then King Rehoboam sent Adoram, who was in charge of the revenue." So this was probably not a great move on Rehoboam's part. He sent the tax collector to these people. He was in charge of the revenue. He sent the tax collector. "But all Israel stoned him with stones, and he died." So that's the reception that the tax collector got when he was sent to try to bring these people back in line. They were stoned, and he died. "Therefore, King Rehoboam mounted his chariot in haste to flee to Jerusalem." So Rehoboam sees that things are not going there. His main guy that he sent has been stoned. He figures he better get out of town too, or the same thing could happen to him. So he fled to Jerusalem. Verse 19, "So Israel has been in rebellion against the house of David to this day." And it's interesting, different phases to this split of the kingdoms between the southern and the northern tribes. And you can see in the early part there is open conflict. There's much animosity between the northern tribe and the southern tribe. And we'll try to highlight as we go through that there are times when it's not so much, where they kind of are more in cooperating with each other and at peace with each other. But in these early days, there is much contention between the northern and the southern tribe. Let's see. So on your chart there, you can see we're kind of at the very top of the chart there, with Judah, the southern, the capital in Jerusalem. And you see that's where Rehoboam has fled back to Jerusalem, and that's where his capital would be. And Jeroboam has taken up residency as king of the north, and the capital up there is in Samaria. So we see this clear division between the 10 northern tribes and the 2 southern tribes, and the open conflict that has been a result. Now, verse 20, now it came to pass when all Israel heard that Jeroboam had come back, they sent for him and called him to the congregation and made him king over all Israel. There was none who followed the house of David but the tribe of Judah only. So we see the division is only Judah and actually Benjamin following in the southern tribe. And when Rehoboam came to Jerusalem, he assembled all the house of Judah with the tribe of Benjamin, 180,000 chosen men who were warriors, to fight against the house of Israel, that he might restore the kingdom to Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. So again, Rehoboam is not taking this rejection sitting down. So he has assembled the 2 tribes that are loyal to him, Judah and Benjamin, and 180,000 chosen men who were warriors. So he has a pretty good source of armed men there and warriors. And he proposes that he's going to fight. In his heart, he proposed that he's going to fight against the house of Israel, that he could restore the kingdom to himself. But in verse 22, we see that the God intervenes. Verse 22, but the word of God came to Shemaiah, the man of God, saying, speak to Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, king of Judah, to all the house of Judah and Benjamin, and to the rest of the people, saying, thus says the Lord, you shall not go up nor fight against your brethren, the children of Israel. Let every man return to his house, for this thing is from me. Therefore they obeyed the word of the Lord and turned back according to the word of the Lord. So again, God intervenes here. Rehoboam's design is to have open conflict with Israel, but God intervenes and says, no, you should not fight against your brethren, the children of Israel. So a peace is brokered by God in this case, that there should not be any continued fighting. Now, we have time, so I think I'll go ahead and maybe try to finish out this chapter. So we've covered so far kind of the revolt and the setup of the 2 different tribes, and Rehoboam has set up his kingdom in Jerusalem. And we'll now look towards the north there, and we'll look at how Jeroboam has set up his kingdom in Israel. Verse 25, then Jeroboam built Shechem in the mountains of Ephraim, and dwelt there. Also he went out from there and built Peniel. And Jeroboam said in his heart, now the kingdom may return to the house of David. So he's concerned here that this this nation he's over, this kingdom he's over, they may not be as loyal to him as maybe they could be or should be. Verse 27, if these people go up to offer sacrifices in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then the heart of this people will turn back to their Lord Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they will kill me and go back to Rehoboam, king of Judah. So Jeroboam has a concern here that if the people go back to worship in Jerusalem, that possibly they will go back and they will be under Rehoboam's reign again. They will desert Jeroboam. So he comes up with a plan. Verse 28, therefore the king took counsel and made two calves of gold and said to the people, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. So he's looking out for their good. He said, that's too much for you guys to go up to Jerusalem. Here are your gods, O Israel, which brought you up from the land of Egypt. So he made two calves. We've seen trouble with calves before. He uses them as the symbol. Verse 29, and he set up one in Bethel, and the other he put in Dan. Now this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one as far as Dan. So the people in Israel bought into this idea that they didn't need to go down to Jerusalem to worship God anymore, that what Jeroboam had proposed was perfectly okay with them. And then verse 31, he made shrines on the high places and made priests from every class of people who were not of the sons of Levi. So he came up with his own priesthood here in Israel. Jeroboam ordained a feast on the 15th day of the eighth month, like the feast that was in Judah. Well, it was like, it wasn't the same. It was like the feast in Judah. So you can see what he's doing here. He's setting up his own religion in the north. Continuing in verse 32, and offered sacrifices on the altar. So he did at Bethel, sacrificing to the calves that he had made. And at Bethel, he installed the priest of the high places which he had made. So he made offerings on the altar which he had made at Bethel on the 15th day of the eighth month, in the month which he had devised, and here's the key, in his own heart. So again, this is a man-made religion. This is all his thinking. And he ordained a feast for the children of Israel and offered sacrifices on the altar and burned incense. So we see that things are not going well as far as the establishment of this northern kingdom. The first ruler over, Jeroboam, has instituted a false religion, and it seems like most of the people have bought into it. It's a religion of convenience. Look at the things people get involved in today. You know, what's a religion of convenience? You know, we'll make this easy for you. And I won't go into some examples, but you can think of some of the examples even today. You know, well, you don't necessarily have to come on Sunday. We'll make it more convenient if it's some other night. So, you know, and you can come up with your own examples like that. So, you know, Jeroboam has played on that part. He's come up with this religion of convenience. And he set himself up as one of the priests. You know, he was one of the ones. So he made offerings on the altar. So, you know, he's made himself a priest of this own religion. So as we go through these other kings, we'll see that there was really no good ever came out of the northern tribes. We will see an ebb and flow in the southern tribes. There are some godly leaders in the southern tribe, but the northern tribe we won't find ever any good coming out of the north. So anyhow, that's probably about all I intend to cover today. Do any brothers have any comments or observations on anything we looked at today?
Doesn't mention anything about it. And the other thing was, I appreciate what Dave said. There were three feasts that all the children of Israel had to appear before the Lord. They had to appear before the Lord. And it says, and not empty-handed. In other words, they had to prepare, they had to come and really meditate and so on and come before the Lord. And that was, at that time, the temple in Jerusalem. Well, like they pointed out, Jeroboam said, hey, wait a minute. They go to Jerusalem before the Lord, and they're going to be convicted. And they are going to go and basically join themselves under Jeroboam, because basically that's what God recognizes, their kingdom. So the trick that he used is to keep the people away from going to be in the very presence of the Lord. And that is what, like Dave said, I appreciate. We have to be very, very careful. Very careful who we follow. The Lord wants us to be in His presence all the time. His wishes are good here.
All right. Thank you, George. Okay. And I think with that, we'll go ahead and close our Sunday school time today. And Brother Mike will bring a message to us in a few moments. Thank you.